Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read out of 2 Timothy. This is Paul's letter to Timothy, a young man that he's mentoring, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And Paul says this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Well, here we are, less than a week away from Super Bowl 54, with the Kansas City Chiefs making their first trip back to the Super Bowl in 50 years, if you can believe that. I can't. Facing the San Francisco 49ers. I haven't noticed teams doing it too much in the past few years. I doubt either of those two teams will do it, but who knows? I never could figure out why a team would do it, because more often than not, it never seemed to work out well. And what I'm talking about is that a team would jump out to a big lead and then change doing what got them there. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever. The game wasn't over, yet instead of continuing to play the game as they had been playing it up till then, they would go into a prevent defense. You heard that term before. Some kind of a slowdown and conservative run-out-the-clock approach on offense, too. And before you knew it, the other team had closed the gap and made it a game, or worse, had taken over a lead which at one time had seemed insurmountable. I remember playing golf at Augusta National Country Club after the Masters tournament was over one year. I know, but somebody had to do it. Anyway, I played with Tom Landry, the late head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and Frank Broyles, who was then the athletic director at the University of Arkansas. Afterward, the three of us were eating lunch together in the Augusta National Country Club dining room, and the conversation turned from golf and other things to football. So I took my chance then, took the moment to ask them why other teams would do that, what I just described. Go into a prevent defense or slow down on offense when they have a big lead, instead of being faithful to what got them to that point. They both said they never understood it, and they never did it. Instead, they kept playing the same tough pressing defense and the same aggressive offensive game plan which had gotten them the lead all the way to the end, or until the time on the clock and the score on the scoreboard clearly indicated that the result was assured. They kept on fighting. There was always something left to be done to stay strong up until the very end. That's what the Apostle Paul, in summarizing his life in those two verses that we read a moment ago, is encouraging you and me and Timothy to do with our lives, to stay strong until the end, to run out the clock well, as he tried to do with his life. Paul, you'll remember, was whipped, beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, robbed, was often without food, often without other provisions or shelter, but he kept on fighting the fight, running the race, all out for Christ. Like Paul, the fight, the struggle, the striving, which we are in the middle of, isn't over yet. Whether in a game, a relationship, raising a family, making our way through our career path or changing our career path, helping our children or granddaughters, for some of us, or those who we coach through some difficult times, dealing with all the ups and the downs, difficulties and challenges which occur through all of the different seasons and moments in the journey of our lives. Our race isn't over yet, my friends. It's just not. The fight, the race, the journey is not finished. The clock is still ticking. Our lives are not over. And as I tell everyone within earshot, and which Paul's life demonstrates, there is no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. And therefore, in whatever we're going through, with God at our side, the journey to honor and glorify him and to do the very best in every setting of our lives isn't over until that day when we stand face to face and look him square in the eye and say that we did all we could do, that we stayed strong until the end in everything we put our hands and hearts to, full speed, all in, all out, with everything we have in us. Then, on that day, as we stand before him, we'll hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, how are things going for you? What are you in the midst of? A winning streak? Or maybe on a losing skid? Maybe you feel like you're just kind of breaking even. Or maybe you're a bit numb and still trying to figure out whatever in the world is going on and what you should do next. Maybe you're not at all sure where you are or what to do, struggling to find the right direction and path for the next days or the next season of your life. Or maybe you know a family member, a friend, or a teammate who is going through that. No matter what we face, we can find help for the next steps ahead of us by remembering something else, Paul said. In addition to encouraging us to stay strong to the finish, to fight the good fight, to run the race all the way to the end, Paul was telling that young Timothy and us to keep the faith. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Just like he did is what he calls us to do. To keep the faith in the God we serve, the God we are running with and toward, to continue to align our lives, our hearts, our priorities, decisions, and steps with the God who is watching over us. Paul reminds us that the prize we are staying strong for, fighting for, in the race that we're running to the end for, isn't a prize or reward given for our worldly accomplishments or our achievements or our trophies for championships or all the other cheers of our peers, recognition for building funds or other worldly pursuits that we're involved in. Those rewards and prizes may happen, and they do along the way, but they can't be our primary focus. The prize we will receive for eternity, which is far better than any worldly and temporary awards which will not last or be remembered, is the ongoing applause and then affirmation of our Heavenly Father when we stand face to face with Him, for remaining faithful and honoring Him in everything we do, and each day reaching out and touching the world around us, for doing the things that have eternal, lasting value, touching others' lives and lifting them to a better place than where we found them, and ultimately to a relationship with the God who loves them. It is found by using and using up your gifts, abilities, and resources for the good of others around you. It's about living the life He called you to live to the fullest, not wasting the moments before you. It's about adding value to the lives around you and remembering that no matter what we go through, the ups and downs, the wins or losses, and the joys or heartaches, God doesn't waste any of what we go through. And He will ultimately use everything we go through for our good, for the good of others, and for His glory. The prize, the eternal affirmation, will be found in a life well lived for God and for others, in a game well played all the way to the end, win, lose, or die, in a relationship full of grace and forgiveness and aligned with Christ, aligned with Christ, in a family, a workplace, on a team, in a classroom which honors the individual and the collective efforts of all assembled, in a journey in which we give every bit of ourselves to have the positive, eternal impact God intended for us to have all the way to the finish until we draw our last breath here on this earth. I love this quote, which could be another way to say what Paul is saying in the verses that we read about fighting the good fight, running the race, keeping the faith. Listen to what it says. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid into heaven broadside across the finish line in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." How about it, my friends? Just like Paul, no prevent defenses, okay? No offensive slowdowns, no conservative run-out-the-clock moments, no partial efforts in our approaches to the life we've been given, but instead, keeping the faith, fighting the good fight, finishing the race, and running out the clock well, well, all the way to the end. That's what we're called to do. That's the life that we're called to live. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time where we can just pause and remember what you call us to. And especially thank you for the words and the life of the Apostle Paul and the teaching he did and how he built into Timothy's life and sent him out as well, Lord. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, but more than that, thank you for your example, your son's example, and how he touched the world around him. He added value to everyone he met. He lived fully, Lord, all the way. Help us to do that in everything we do, to be all that you call us to be, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to run out the clock well, knowing that when we do, we're not doing it alone. You're there with us, walking with us, guiding and directing us, lifting us when we need lifting, and sending us out again. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.